Good evening. Welcome to the Solari Report. Today is June 18th, 2015. I'm Catherine Austin Fitz, and I'm delighted you could join me this evening. Our theme tonight is Here Comes the Barrage. The reality is if we let people steal $40 trillion, they become even bolder. It's like a horse, a runaway horse that gets the bit in their mouth. So it's not surprising they're coming around from all sides to re-engineer the law to fit their new wealth and circumstances. And part of the reality is there's no more room to kick the can in the debt and bond markets. That string has gone about as far as it can go in many places. Let's start with what I call the Trans-Pacific coup d'etat. You can read all about it in my commentary at the top of the blog. The House, after rejecting fast track last week, passed fast track today, 219-211, thanks to 105 Republicans who changed their vote from no to yes. Those 105 included Mark Sanford of Charleston. His district was the one where the church shooting occurred. Very few people knew about the Trans-Pacific Partnership vote in the House today, or certainly the vote on fast track. And that's because the airwaves were full of the church shooting. In my opinion, this is not an accident. I suspect there were multiple goals. First and foremost, to get the fast track passed, but also a message to the African-American ministers to toe the party line in the game of divide and conquer that's being played out. More on sort of mind control operations like this one later. The House bill now goes to the Senate, so the fast track is not legislated yet. That's one of the reasons that we did an interview with Congresswoman Marcy Kaptur, posted it early to make sure that you had the information you needed to contact your representative. We have a special report on the Trans-Pacific Partnership up, and of course my latest commentary, top of the blog, Trans-Pacific Coup d'Etat. That's going to give you a lot of information that will help you when you call your representatives and talk to the staff and express your concern. Let me describe what we're really looking at, because this is first and foremost not a trade agreement. It's the development of a transnational legal system designed to re-engineer sovereign government constitutions by a backdoor method. Essentially, what we're doing is we're reorganizing the constitutional and legal structure of the Anglo-American Alliance and its G7 allies through three agreements: the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement, the Transatlantic Investment Partnership Agreement, and the Trade and Services Agreement. And you can link to all of those from the commentary. The second thing is happening is we're building a wall. We've shifted money out of 2.0 into 3.0. We're building a wall so that governments can't claw that resource back from private investors or corporations to fund the liabilities they've now been saddled with without the corresponding assets. The third thing is to secure very strong intellectual capital protection for a whole new wave of corporate and private patents and technology, including breakthrough energy, GMO, biotech, and very advanced weaponry. Much of those assets, much of that knowledge and technology has been funded or transferred from governments, and this is all part of making sure government can't claw it back or corporations can't be stuck with the cost of the externalities that are created when they roll out. So as robotics and artificial intelligence roll out, we're going to see tremendous amounts of unemployment. They want to make sure that those liabilities remain with government and can't be shifted back onto corporations. And so they want to protect very large corporate valuations from those liabilities or expenses. We've never seen anything like this before on planet Earth, the extent to which corporations are prototyping and experimenting with populations by creating products and services with new and untested technologies, supported by junk or no science at all. And so the potential liabilities and expenses are great, and they want to make sure they're protected. Finally, they want to promote a new round of privatization on highly favorable terms to corporations and private investors, dig deeper and aggregate a bigger percentage of the small farm and small business economy into the publicly traded stocks, and continue to shift the relationship between capital and labor in favor of capital. And increase generally corporate powers to override national, state, and local laws and regulation. And finally, increase secrecy and immunity. The black budget continues to back into the hands and operations of private corporations. And of course, this just allows greater secrecy and greater immunity. So we posted the roll call tonight for both the turn down in the House and then the vote in favor. And so you can see how your representatives voted both last Friday and today. I also make it clear that I think this is just the beginning in terms of trade agreements. If the G7 is able to pass these three agreements, you're going to see continued agreements then with China and India and the other members of the BRICS. I should note that Australia and China finalized their trade deal this week. So again, call your senator. It's not too late to stop this. This could still, fast track, could still be stopped in the Senate. Meantime, with all the concern with Trans-Pacific Partnership, nobody's noticed that the appropriation bills are moving through the House. Very little press whatsoever. That includes the National Defense Authorization Act of 2016. Again, the big decisions I anticipate will be made at the Grove at the end of July, and then we'll see the fireworks in September when the budget is finally completed. Kiplinger warns this week, expect changes coming in Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. They predict that's going to happen next year in 2016, which is quite remarkable to show you how tough things are. They claim that 45% of the payouts are Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid combined. Notice everybody's now referring to Social Security as an entitlement, forgetting that we all paid into the system. You can see the blame the victim spin begin, the Gen X versus the boomers. It's all the boomers' fault. They've been profligate. Or they're big spenders, they haven't lived appropriately. No understanding of the extent to which the boomers were lied to and debased. So you're going to see we're watching black versus white, but next watch the generations, the divide and conquer on the generations around Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid begin. The Pope, and this, the barrage continues, the Pope, Pope Francis has published today a new encyclical on care for our common home. The thought that comes to mind best is physician, heal thyself. The state of disassociation takes your breath away. The church yelling about the ills of the world, not understanding is that, you know, we have arrived at a place with the church being the single most powerful institution in the world. It's a little bit like the head of the CIA or NSA castigating the world population about transparency and respecting privacy. I'm going to publish a detailed commentary about it next week, so I'll leave it at that. But it's yet again a part of the barrage. Next, we have the Greek default. Greece's got an IMF payment on June 30. It's got big treasury bill rollovers at the end of the month as well. And then not that long after that, it has ECB loans coming due. It clearly can't make those loans. It did announce that it plans to sign an MOU with the Russians tomorrow for a pipeline through Greece to allow Gazprom gas to go into Europe. So they intend to do the deal with Russia, bringing hopefully very, very much needed revenues. Finance minister said this week, we're dangerously close to a state of mind that accepts an accident. It's going to be very interesting to see what, if anything, sort of breaks this impasse. It's clearly putting extreme pressure on the German banking community. We've had one headline after another about Deutsche Bank, the just about the worst job in the world to have this month is head of PR and communications for Deutsche Bank. You've had the co-heads of the company resign, their office raided, strange suicides and murders, other behavior. And I suspect it's only a public symptom of much deeper negotiations going on behind the scenes. But clearly the barrage is underway. I almost said when somebody asked me what happened this week, I almost said what didn't happen. This is going to accelerate through the summer and fall, so just be prepared as the change underway continues to be sort of dizzying and dazzling. Money and markets, the Fed met for 2 days, and Yellen continued to talk about the rate hike that has yet to come. But clear indication that they continue to want to raise rates in the fall. It's not clear that they're going to do it. Some of this may just be jawboning. But the stock market surged a little bit on Yellen saying that the conditions for a rate hike had not been met. I published a commentary called The Endgame in the Precious Metals Market. We see the Sprout Group offering for an uninvited merger proposal with Central Gold Trust. And if you look at what's happening now with Central Gold Trust has had the good sense to reject the offer and is encouraging their shareholders to reject the offer. We'll see what the shareholders do. But in combination, this in combination with what's happened at Gold Money, I think it's fair to say that there is a serious potential deterioration in governance over some of the last independent pools of gold inventory that can be accessed by retail investors. And it's pretty disturbing. I've recommended to my clients that they shift out of Gold Money. I think it's, if you look at the governance of Gold Money, it's certainly not what it was. And it's probably time to go. There's much better available. But I think these two are really a symptom that we're coming into an end game. And as the gold inventory shifts to the east and diversifies, I think the clear indication is it's very important to have your core position. If you don't have it, you need to get it. And you need to make sure that either you have control of it or it's in a depository that you can trust. Harder and harder to find these days. But I think physical possession is going to be 99% of the law. So you need to take this as a clear indication. Now, that doesn't mean the primary trend is reasserted, and it doesn't mean that gold's going to be a good investment this year. It just means for your core position, you need to take note that we're coming into an end game, and the and there's a real squeeze on for control of physical inventories. Let's take a look at the sort of how the markets did. The S&P is now, you know, bouncing on Yellen's comments, is now up 3% for the year. The clear winners in the global equity sweepstakes is the Germans are up 13.7%. The large cap Chinese are up 13.5%. The A shares in China are flying. They're up 37% for the year. The developed markets up 8.74% and the emerging markets up 2.85%, almost equivalent to the S&P. So the S&P is clearly, you know, struggling, operating in its high PE. One of the most popular parts of the U.S. financial press this week was trashing the Chinese markets. The better the Chinese markets do, the more Western journalists trash and trash and trash. The bond market was relatively flat. The corporate AGG bond aggregate now off 1.14% for the year. Essentially, you're seeing a lot of the bonds and the bond funds making some kind of yield and then giving up most of it on the on soft prices. The long treasury now off 6.6% for the year. Not a good signal given what's going on in Greece that, that the long treasury is still struggling. Gold is now up 1.4% the year, up about 2% today. Silver now up about 2.7%, oil still off 1.4%, and the Jefferies Commodity Index off 1.4% for the year. So if you step back and look at the charts, China and Germany are still leading the pack in the equity markets, and everything is trailing behind, and a lot of the markets are really flat and struggling for the year. U.S. dollar index up 4% for the year, softer down at 94.03 and sort of trading flat to soft. It's important to understand what the impact of these trade agreements could be on the markets. And I think the softness of the U.S. market speaks to one of the reasons why there's such an extraordinary push to get them. If all of these agreements pass, you could see extraordinary strengthening in the equity markets, because what you're talking about doing is significantly protecting corporate valuations from governmental liabilities and externalities, as well as significantly enhancing their ability to generate income from a variety of sources. And so whether it's lowering risk or increasing revenues and income and profit margins, you're talking about potentially very much strengthening corporates' hands. And if and as they roll out new technology, you could really see a crash up. So part of think of part of this as a creating the legal and regulatory framework globally for a real crash up and reengineering to an equity model. If all of them pass, it could also mean increased trouble for the bond market, sovereigns, and municipalities. So as the bond market struggles, the stock market could do very well in sort of a divergence between valuations in the two markets. And finally, and it won't necessarily drive prices higher, but what we could see is a real squeeze in the commodities and precious metals as money leaving the bond market looks to lock up real assets. So note my commentary, endgame in the precious metals markets. It's up for subscribers. You need to log in. Several other commentaries I wanted to point out. Irritation, enormous irritation with the one of the popular spins. Oh, we'll solve the problem by putting women in charge of everything. So I wrote a commentary called Dressing Fascism in Skirts. And then another one called the Worker Trilogy. Very interesting series of thrillers, spy thrillers from BBC. One published, the first published in 2011, and the second two produced all by David Hare in 2014. It was sent to me by an anonymous tip. I received it in the mail, handwritten note. You need to see the Worker Trilogy. So I've learned to respect anonymous tips. So sure enough, I got all three DVDs, watched them, and very interesting. Anyway, if you want to know more about what I discovered, very interesting about the syndicates that engineered the prisons and private prisons to build global empire. So go take a look at it. It's up on the blog, subscriber only, the Warwick Trilogy. If you're looking for some great, if you like spy thrillers and action movies, great action movies about played by Bill Nighy, about an MI5 officer. Very, very interesting. Under the category Go Jump in a Lake, the president said today with respect to the shooting in the Charleston church, quote, "The fact that this took place in a black church obviously raises questions about a dark part of our history," said U.S. President Barack Obama. "Once again, innocent people were killed in part because someone who wanted to inflict harm had no trouble getting their hands on a gun." Okay, that's just wrong. President Obama, you go jump in a lake. Innocent people were killed because no one was carrying a gun. If the people in that church had been carrying a gun, if they had been armed and trained, I assure you there would be many fewer people dead today. The other thing that could have helped tremendously is if we were to all bring transparency to mind-controlled engineered ops and talk about it openly. One of the things that's always frustrated me is the extent to which the religious community refuses to discuss that, let alone engage with their parishioners about the fact that such things exist. If the young man who's been arrested was guilty, there's a very good chance he was mind controlled. And it is relatively easy for both government intelligence agencies and many private securities agencies who have that technology to get a hold of a young person and mind control them and teach them to kill. You know, it's relatively inexpensive and really relatively easy to do. Those kinds of operations are happening. They've been happening for many decades. And the thing that protects them most is that we won't bring them to the fore. We won't discuss them. We won't deal with them. We won't address with them. If you're interested, we did a great Solieri report on mind control, an introduction to mind control, and I would encourage you to get and listen to that, as well as the one we did with Adam Trombley on entrainment technology. And I think it's time we brought all of this out of the closet and stopped requiring everybody to pretend these things aren't happening. We need to deal with them. We need to address them. The more we can bring sunshine to them, the harder it is for them to happen, and the more that people will know to do things like buy a gun and get armed and trained to protect themselves against this, because the reality is when we are funding with our tax dollars, whether we're funding government intelligence agencies or we're funding defense contractors who have their own private armies, when our tax dollars are funding this kind of capacity, as well as funding enforcement agencies like the Department of Justice and Fast and Furious to bring guns and other weapons into our communities, then we need to be prepared to deal with that. Our hero this week, as we have two, of course, Congresswoman Marcy Kaptur, who gave us a great interview, and I can't recommend it to you enough. Wonderful Democrat from Ohio. I'm a great Marcy Kaptur fan and have been for many years. I think she's one of the outstanding examples of great public servants. And then our other hero is a gentleman named Kent Lee, who's got a product called Shoes That Grow. When he was living in Africa, he realized that one of the reasons that many children don't have shoes is because they grow out of them so quickly. And so he developed a process and got a shoe company that could figure out how to make a shoe that can grow five sizes in 5 years. They have small that generally fit the ages of 5 to 9. It grows five sizes, and then large, which grows from the ages of 10 to 14 years. You can donate. So a duffel bag of 50 shoes sent to different countries can offer tremendous opportunity for the people distributing them. And $15 will buy one pair of shoes. So Celeria is donating one pair of shoes, and we encourage you to do so. We'll have it up on the website. Ask Catherine, if it's Congress's job to determine all the laws and legislation that gets passed here in the U.S., what government entity is now restricting Congress's right to both read and openly talk about the proposed Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement? I'm assuming from what Congresswoman Kaptur said that it was the Office of the President, but who would have had it the agreement prepared by the Department of Justice, unless they used White House counsel to do it. But whether it was White House counsel or the Department of Justice, it was basically executive branch attorneys who were requiring Congress to sign an agreement, which in my opinion is not constitutional. Congress clearly could make that clear with legislation or with congressional action, or someone could take them to court. But I think it is a comment as to the extent of the intimidation and violence. And of course, in my experience, when the Department of Justice is presented with a goal such as this, they're really concerned with the law or the Constitution. And it's a real comment when you listen to Congressman Kaptur talk about signing the confidentiality agreement. It's a real comment on the deterioration of our situation. Another question, dear Catherine, my understanding of how student loans work is that when a student defaults, the government then pays the entire amount owed on the loan to the lender, but the lender then makes even more money by selling the defaulted loan to a collection agency. Is this correct? I have sent you a very detailed answer from our student loan expert, and it's but it's much more complicated because there are many different kinds of student loans. To the extent that the government collects or pays money to on the loan to a lender, the money collected is owed to the government, although the party collecting may be paid fees. And if it's the same party as the original party, then in theory the answer could be yes, but I really think the reality is the money at that point belongs to the government, or certainly the principal collected. Expect student loans to be a major political football during the campaign, and to see a real more and more relief, hopefully, to student loans, because the burden of student loans on student has become unbearable and is really having a very deleterious effect on the whole economy. Congresswoman Kaptur and I also discussed John Oliver's very humorous but deadly serious routine on poultry farming, and I would encourage you to watch it. It's terrific. Well, that's it for this week. Coming up next week, we have Unpacking Baltimore with Junius Ricardo Stanton. Very appropriate, given what just happened in Charleston, that we should talk about more about the black and white divide. I wanted Junius to come back because his last interview with us was so popular. It got such a great reception, and I think it's really important that we have very honest conversations about what's going on and the effort to turn us all against each other, whether it's to turn men and women against each other or Generation X and baby boomers against each other or black or white together. I do think one of the most respected communities in America is the African-American pastorship, is the religious leadership of the African-American churches. And that's why seeing one of these ops targeting one, particularly one who was a state senator, is very, very unnerving and very chilling to me. But next week with Junius Ricardo Stanton, Unpacking Baltimore, we'll talk about Baltimore in depth, what happened there, what it means. Then July 2nd, equity overview. I'm going to be focusing on the Australian and New Zealand stock markets because I had a chance to learn a little bit more about them. And I think it's very important that we start to look at the nature and the characteristics of stock markets around the world. So I'm going to be doing that over the next few years. July 9th, the second quarter wrap up. Our big theme is infrastructure. We'll be talking about the infrastructure building underway and the real opportunity with new technology to revitalize and bring infrastructure to where it has not yet happened. A lot of opportunity in that area. So until next week with Junius Ricardo Stanton, ladies and gentlemen, please remember, don't worry about whether or not there is a conspiracy. If you're not in a conspiracy, you need to start one. So good night and good luck.